invite those on the lower level to please kneel at this time, as we have a time of prayer, and those on the balcony to just remain standing right where you are. And let's bow our heads and pray to our God. Lord, we thank you so much for simply being who you are. We know, God, that you and you alone are holy, holy, holy. And you love us. And we're so grateful. And we're so thankful. And we were made to worship you, Lord. And so we pray, God, that this morning you would accept our praise and our worship. Lord, you know the hearts of your people here in this community. And we lift up in prayer some of the names that have been given to us this morning. We pray for Lourdes Sanchez for recovery, for the Pino family, for comfort, for our senior pastor search, and for all the many prayer requests that are brought on Tuesday for our prayer gathering. And Lord, for the silent requests that are on the hearts of your people here this morning. Lord, you know us. You know every hair on our head. You know us through and through. God, some people here are struggling financially. They're struggling with health concerns. They're struggling with emotions and addictions and bad habits and things they want to break, God. And we find, Lord, that we can do nothing on our own, but we claim the promise that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So, Lord, we pray, Father, that this morning you would hear our prayer and give us the courage and the strength and the wisdom to leave these requests at the foot of the cross. And allow our minds to be focused on you and only you so we can worship you without the burdens of our lives. Lord, have your way in this place. And we give you praise in advance because we know that you are always good and you always make a way. We love you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen.
Our scripture this morning is from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. I'll be reading from the New International Version. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. May the Lord bless the understanding of his word.
It wasn't just a song, it was an experience. Thank you. It's good to be here with you today. Sort of especially good. And I appreciate the invitation to join you in this experience coming from the pastor and his staff. From the day this warm invitation reached me and I heard this was Heritage Sabbath, the title of my message popped into my head long before I began to think about preparing it. The title is simply The Heritage. I have a habit of looking up words even if I know the meaning. I search for nuances and shades of meaning. I looked up the word heritage. And it said something transmitted or acquired from a predecessor. And then came a very familiar word, a birthright. And immediately I thought of Esau. And the Bible says he despised his birthright, meaning simply he didn't place proper value upon it. It was less important to him at a given moment than a mess of pottage. The Bible says he despised his birthright. Usually a birthright or a heritage is highly prized and loved and precious. Generally positive, sometimes negative. but often appreciated, a thing that makes us glowingly proud. And I would say further, it can be an intangible Adventist heritage. Brings up for me all kinds of memories and emotions. From the time I was 6 months old until I was 10 years old, my mother kept Sabbath by divine instruction. We had no books, no teachers, nothing. And then in my 10th year, I entered the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was not impressive. I looked around, about 75 people, I guess, 15 or 20 in the choir loft, young people. And I sat there at 10 years of age evaluating, and finally I saw the Ten Commandments hanging on a wall above the pulpit. And a voice said to me, "This is it." And more than 60 years later, I haven't changed my mind one iota. The truth is, I don't know why I was so impressionable at 10 years of age. Maybe it began to work out later. There was one thing I was determined not to do, and that was to preach. And how glad I am that the Lord decided to call me anyway. The Adventist heritage is a large package delivered to every one of us who believes. It suggests that if we pay attention, we will become a distinctive people. We will become peculiar. That's a Bible term. And I always feel I ought to explain further. Peculiar does not mean queer. It means distinguishable. And some are sensitive about the name. It's hard to hear it and remain neutral. Seventh-day Adventist. We are told by inspiration the name carries two principal features of our faith up front. We obey all of God's commandments, including the fourth, and we expect a literal, visible return of our Lord to this earth. And we'll come back to that. Let us remember this morning that the church in which we worship today came into being at a particular time in history to do a special work around the world in fulfillment of various certain prophecies. This church has an historic basis. We usually can couch the whole thing in the three angels' messages, Revelation chapter 14. And then in chapter 18, a fourth angel or message or messenger says, "Come out of her." Out of what? Out of Babylon. What's that? Historically, the Bible refers to ancient Babylon and uses it as a type down to the very end of time. It means spiritual confusion. And God calls his people out of her, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Well, all right, if we come out, where are we going? Without an understanding of history, prophecy is of little use, said one of the pioneers. And because so many are neglecting to teach all the things contained in this great heritage, many cannot see or accept the role assigned to this church in the last days. We don't get it. There are offshoots springing up here and there. Somebody called me about one or two last week. The Reformed Seventh-day Adventist. What in the world is that? Another said the Free. So I have been free? Freer as a member of the Lord's Remnant Church. And I can dispatch with these things with one thought. First of all, whoever the remnant church is responsible to carry the gospel to all the world before Jesus comes. And I tell these little groups, you can't even afford to carry the gospel across town. God has an organization. He has a system for financing it to carry the gospel into all the world. So please accept today that the church called the remnant is not just another church. I run into that a great deal as an evangelist. There are some who think you're just thrown in the mix and we're all caught in denominational competition. I deny that. I deny it strenuously. And then there are some who think it's not unique, therefore it's not peculiar as the Bible requires. And there is a concerted attack by many against the standards of the church. Now, every one of these